Good morning, church. We want to welcome you this morning. Would you, wherever you are, just stand with us and let's celebrate our risen King. All the earth will sing.
You lived, you died, you said in 3 days you would rise. You did. You're alive. You rule, you rule, you reign. You said you're coming back again, and I know you will. All the earth will sing your praises. Yes, all the earth will sing your praises.
Amen, church. Today we sing.
You took, you take our sins away, oh God. You give and you gave your life away for us. You came down and you saved us through the cross. Our hearts are changed because of your great love. You lived and you died. You said in 3 days you would rise. You did.
Good morning, men and women of God. Wow. Bob and Shelley, that was awesome. I so enjoy that. You two make a real good team. That's the best way I can say it. By the way, I wish you were all here, but you can look us up all the time on fbcpaso.org and scan down. You can get us on YouTube. It's a wonderful time. But today I came in and I had something in my soul and I want to give this to you. Shout for joy. I'm going to tell you, go out there and just give a shout. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. That's all of us. Worship the Lord. With what? With gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. That's what we just heard and we're going to continue to hear. And then know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us and we are His. We are His people. This is beautiful. We are the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates now. Come and enter with us today. With thanksgiving, come with praise into His courts. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Let me lead us in prayer just before we're going to continue in our worship. Father, we come, here we are today. We're in our homes, we're all over this county, but we're Your sons, Your daughters, and we come in the love of Jesus the Christ Himself. We've come to enjoy worship together. We've come to ask blessings. We've come to come before You with thanksgiving. Father, You have allowed this opportunity upon our world. You and alone are sovereign. Thank You for this. Father, we're going to come before You because You are going to bring good out of this. And we ask Your blessing on Your sons and daughters. Father, I would also ask a blessing on our governor that he would understand and come to know that life that is eternal in Jesus Christ. Pour out Your love upon him and his family. And give wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to our county officials and our mayor. May this be a beautiful day, Father, in the love of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Now will you enjoy worship with us? This is going to be a wonderful time. You're going to enjoy this moment. This is Terry and Jesse Lim. Enjoy.
God.
Open the eyes of my heart.
be the cry of our hearts. Lord, may we really seek you and search for you. God, this week, help us devote ourselves more to you, to your purposes, to loving you more fully, so that we can love others more fully, God. Thank you. Thank you again for your amazing grace. And help us to know the freedom that we have from sin, that we might be steeped in your love, and that we might live for you. Holy Spirit of God, come. Come and prepare our hearts. Till us up, that we might grow and grow and grow deeper in love with you, and to extend your fruit to the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for being with me today.
Thanks for having me with you.
I want to hug you.
Wait, here's your phone. Oh, wait, not.
Just air hug.
To all of you.
Wow. Terry, what a blessing for you and Jesse. Here you are, Terry, as mom, watching your daughter live in holiness. That's a wonderful time. I was thinking, oh, Father, dress us in righteousness and cover all this nakedness. If there's something in me that's I'm completely unaware, wash this thing out. So thank you so much for leading us in worship. It was beautiful. This is our time in our ministry that we get the privilege of giving unto the Lord. So we're going to come and present ourselves. And on this day, you can go to fbcpaso.org. That's where my wife and I go. And we found it just the easiest. And I have to say, the blessing to the Lord on you and your families. The blessing for not only for finances and health, but just joy itself in the midst of all this. You know, only the resurrected righteous man or woman who has been born again, given a new birth, a new life, can understand how to be joyful always, pray continually, and give thanks in everything. This has been brought to us, allowed to come to us by God, so that we might discover who we are in the magnificence of this new nature. So let's present ourselves and our offerings before the Lord at this time. Heavenly Father, we come to present ourselves again in the magnificence of Christ. Thank you for Terry. Thank you for Jesse. Thank you for the family. Thank you for their great love of you and leading us today in your presence. Father, we sang to you words that we pray to you. We love you, and we ask that these things that we have just sung would take place in all our lives and in our community. We bow before you asking for wisdom in our leaders. We bow before you asking that our governor might come to life that is eternal. We ask for our county leaders, our mayor, a blessing on them. Father, I ask that they would seek you so they would have knowledge, they would have understanding, and then they would be granted wisdom so that we could see what you have planned for all of us in our country and in our community. Thank you for this moment. Thank you for our pastor who loves you so much. Father, he is a dear friend to me, and he is after your heart. Anoint him today. Holy Spirit, take the secret places of his life and proclaim yourself. When he opens your word today, may it come out in the magnificence that, Father, that he is sitting in the living room with everyone. Oh, may this be a day to remember. May this be a holy day. May this be an awakening of the souls of men, women, and boys and girls. And so, Father, we now present our offering to you, and we ask that we give before you with great joy. Father, take this offering that we give and expand it like the 5 loaves and 2 fish. May it go out in the power of your name. And this we ask in the love of Jesus the Christ. Amen. God bless you.
In the cross, in the cross, in my Good morning, church. I wish that we could be together, but we are together around the Word of God and around the Spirit of God. So if you've got your Bible this morning, I would ask you to open it up to Exodus chapter 16 as we continue our exposition of Exodus. And I want to remind you that you can see us on Facebook or YouTube, either one. And we hope that you're enjoying the messages, and we pray that God has been ministering to you and caring for you. A couple of weeks ago, my wife and I had to go down to L.A., so we piled into the car and we began our trip down there to L.A., and I asked the usual question, and I know better than this, but I asked it anyway, and the question was, is, honey, are you hungry? Do you want to stop and do you want to get something to eat? I don't even know why I asked the question, because I already know what the answer is. The answer is there's a Chick-fil-A in Santa Maria, and if you don't stop at Chick-fil-A, you're going to die. So I decided I will stop at Chick-fil-A, right? I pull into the parking lot. We're all ready. You know, you got your taste buds ready to go, and Chick-fil-A is closed. And I looked at my wife, and she looked at me, and we said, what happened? And then we realized something. It was Sunday. With this COVID thing going around, we had gotten our days all jumbled up, and we had forgotten that they were closed on Sunday. Now, we don't have a Chick-fil-A up here in the North County, but it would be a great thing to have one, just in case anybody from Chick-fil-A is listening. We would love to have one up here. But I went to the website, and I asked the question and did a little research on why they do not open on Sunday. The man who actually founded it simply says this: we want to be interested in the spiritual life of our workers. And we want you to know at Chick-fil-A how we feel about our people. And we believe by giving our people Sunday as a day off for family worship, fellowship, and rest contributes to the quality of our people. Isn't that interesting? He began that in 1946 when he first started off in the restaurant industry. And he practiced that to this day. So if you've got a Chick-fil-A, you already know that they're closed on Sunday. But not to worry. We were just down the street from an In-N-Out Burger. And so I said to my wife, let's go to In-N-Out Burger. We ordered our food, and we were sitting there eating our food, and then it hit me. I remembered that In-N-Out Burger is a Christian company as well. In fact, if you take their drinking cup and you look on the inside rim of that drinking cup, it'll say John 3:16. Well, wait a minute. Does In-N-Out Burger not care about his employees? Because they're open on a Sunday. Does In-N-Out Burger not care if you get a day of rest? Does In-N-Out Burger not care if you have a worship day? Two Christian companies, two completely points of view in terms of how they practice their business, and yet both claim to be Christians. Well, it's not only here today in our society, but in some states you can remember what they used to call blue laws. That were laws that were established that said you could not do certain things on a Sunday. I don't know if you realize it, but in some states today, you still cannot buy a car on Sunday. Why? Because they think that Sunday is a new Sabbath day, and therefore, as a new Sabbath day, it is prohibitive of you to do any kind of work on the Sabbath. That's interesting. I did some research into the United States of America, and one of the things that I noticed is that when they first started coming to these states, the pilgrims, did you know this? They had a book, and a book contained laws, and in that book was 39 pages that were directed just to what you could do and couldn't do on a Sunday. Can you believe that? 39 pages, and it was in small print. Somebody commented in the fact by the time you got through the 39 pages of small print, it would be into the Sabbath before you could actually finish. That's how long it would take you to read it. But isn't that interesting? The Sabbath day. We know it was part of the Old Testament, but what is it to us today? I remember as a young kid, on a Sunday morning, we had gone to church with my mom and dad, and there was a church business meeting after church. Well, kids. We're not going to sit around and listen to a business meeting. So my brother and I went to the station wagon, and we got our ball and glove out, and we began to play catch in the parking lot. And to our surprise, the pastor stopped the business meeting, came out of the church, called me and my brother over, and told us we were wrong for breaking the Sabbath. Wow. Wow. Looking back on that day, I wish I would have said, do you think it's appropriate then to have a business meeting on the Sabbath? Good thing I didn't. I probably would have got my mouth washed out with soap. But nevertheless, how do we understand the Sabbath day? Now, that's important today because of this passage of Scripture we're at in Exodus chapter 16. The Lord is instituting a Sabbath for the children of Israel. And so today I want us to look at that. We're not just going to try to understand what's happening in this passage, but we're going to also look at the New Testament understanding of it, and more importantly, how that applies to you and I today. So with your Bible open to Exodus chapter 16, follow with me as I read beginning in verse 22 down through verse 36. On the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers each. And when all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, he said to them, this is what the Lord has commanded you. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over lay aside to be kept until the morning. So they laid aside till the morning, as Moses commanded them, and it didn't stink, and there were no worms in it. Moses said, eat it today, for today is the Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is a Sabbath, there shall be none. On the seventh day, some of the people went out to gather, and they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, the Lord has given you a Sabbath. Therefore, on the sixth day, he gives you bread for 2 days. Remain each of you in your place. Let no one go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. Now the house of Israel called it manna. It was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Moses said, this is what the Lord commanded. Let an omer of it be kept throughout your generations so that they may see the bread with which I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you out of the land of Egypt. And Moses said to Aaron, take a jar, put an omer of manna in it, and place it before the Lord to be kept throughout your generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron placed it before the testimony to be kept. And the people of Israel ate the manna 40 years until they came to habitable land. They all ate manna until the day they came to the border of the land of Canaan. And then verse 36 is a little parenthetical statement. It just simply says this. An omer is a tenth part of an ephah. Now, doesn't that explain everything? No. An omer, if you want to know what that is about 2 liters. That's the best that we can understand from the weights and measurements of that day. So every day they went out. This is God providing for them manna. And they would collect this bread, about 2 liters worth, on the sixth day. And that second liter was to be saved and cooked, boiled, prepared, so that on the Sabbath day, which is a Saturday, they could enjoy that without having to do any work. The Sabbath day is found right here in Exodus chapter 16. I love this because every morning they had to go out and gather bread. And it was bread that God provided. So we should never think of them as not having to do any work and just being freeloaders. No. The idea was they were to get up in the morning. They were to go work 6 days. And on those 6 days, they were to gather by working the bread that they were going to eat, and on the seventh day, they would do no work, and they would rest. Verse 22, on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers of it, and they saved one of them for the next day. This was God's established plan for the children of Israel. This is what he had him do. And there's really two miracles here. The first miracle is that he provided manna for them in the desert. That's the bread for them to eat. And the second miracle was is it didn't spoil on the sixth day, but rather kept to the seventh day where they could enjoy it. And if you read the context, you will decide or see that there were times that they went out and collected more than they should. And for those who collected more than they should on that day, it always spoiled the next day, but not on the Sabbath, because it was specially given to them by God through a very unique miracle. Verse 23 says, this is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow was a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath day to the Lord. Bake what you bake, boil what you boil, and all that is left over lay aside to be kept till the morning. So the children of Israel did this on a continual basis for some 40 years. In fact, if you travel to Israel or you go to some places where there's a heavy Jewish population, they still honor the Sabbath day even right now. I remember I was in Israel at the Institute of the Holy Land Studies, and it was a Friday evening. We wanted to go out, and that's when Shabbat starts. That's when the Sabbath starts. But we decided we wanted a really good meal, so we were going to hike down to the King David Hotel, and we were going to order something. And we walked into the hotel. They told us the restaurant was closed, but you could sit in the little bar-like cafeteria, and we said, sure. They brought us menus, and we had steaks and all kinds of things on there. And I said, yeah, give us one of those steaks. And the guy said, no, you don't understand. This is the Sabbath. The only thing that we have prepared are pre-made sandwiches that are kept in the refrigerator and the cold fruit and whatever drinks that we have. Other than that, we will not fix you anything because it is the Sabbath day. Well, for those who are of the Jewish faith, many of them still believe in this principle. In fact, if you want to try to understand a little bit about this principle, I want you to understand that it actually goes back farther than Exodus chapter 16. If you go to Genesis chapter 2, you're going to read this. Listen very carefully. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them were completed. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because God rested from all of his work that he had done in creation. So what's interesting about the Sabbath day, the seventh day, a day which we would call Saturday, is that way back in Genesis chapter 2, after God had created everything, as an example to men, God himself rested. That is, that he did no work on that day. He had admired his creation and he rested. Now you might think, well, was God exhausted? Was God tired? Was God fatigued? No, he certainly was not. He did this so that we would see in principle something that we should follow in our life, namely a day of rest. And if you look at it from Scripture, it fits pretty clear. God made days. That is because the earth would complete its rotation in a day. God made months that were gauged by the cycles of the moon. God made years because of the earth's revolution around the sun. And God also made weeks, a natural rhythm that would take place in everyday life. And I don't know about you, but with all this COVID stuff that's going on and the virus, I have certainly lost my rhythm. There are days I can't remember what day it is because my life is set by a schedule that is governed on worship, and I find it difficult at times. But nevertheless, we're all working through this. So God gave them this Sabbath day in chapter 16 to remember. God gave them a Sabbath day even way before that in Genesis chapter 2. And one more area you'll see this in is Exodus chapter 20. In fact, the Sabbath day becomes so important as a day of rest, it's not just given to them in chapter 16, it's one of the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. I mean, think about that. Verse 9, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. And listen to these instructions. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son. Your teenagers will point this verse out to you, by the way. you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner who lives within your gates. For 6 days the Lord has made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them and rested on the seventh day. The passage of Scripture starts off with the word remember. Remember what? Well, when God says remember, it's not just to call it to your mind and to recollect it. Remember means to obey it, to do it. Think of it as your anniversary. When your wife reminds you that it's your anniversary, is she saying to you, hey, next week is my anniversary, and I just want you to remember that when you get out of bed, it's our anniversary? Or is she saying, next week is our anniversary, and I want you to remember it, and you better do something for my anniversary? Well, we all have expectations, don't we? And remember just doesn't mean to recall it to your mind. It means to do something about it. And God is saying to the children of Israel, please understand this. You shall rest one day a week, and on that day of the week you shall do no work. It is a day dedicated to me. Now, there's one more passage of Scripture that I want to read to you from the book of Exodus, because it gives us a whole complete picture. And it's this, Exodus 23. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the people of Israel. Say to them, there are appointed feasts of the Lord that you shall proclaim as holy convocations. They are my appointed feasts. And then he says in verse 3, 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest and holy convocation. That means this. A Sabbath day that God gave was created for two reasons. One was the natural rhythm of life that God wanted you to take a rest. He didn't want you working 7 days a week. In fact, I don't even have to go talk about what doctors and all kinds of professional health care people tell you, but they tell you if you work nonstop and never take a rest, you will be less productive, less healthy, and more tired than if you work 6 days a week and take that day of rest. But it wasn't just a day of rest. According to the book of Leviticus, it was also a day of consecration and convocation. In other words, the people of God were to gather together on that special day of rest, and they were to worship God. So plainly put, when you look at your whole Old Testament, you're going to understand that one of the ordinances that God established for people, not only in creation, but also in the giving of the law, was that we need to rest and we need to worship God. In fact, you may not realize this, but this commandment, it may not be that way to us, but to the Jews in Jesus' day, this was the number one commandment. This is what they practice. And they did it with great passion. One, they would point out to you that it's the longest commandment listed in the Bible. Two, they would tell you that in the first 5 books of the Bible, the commandment is given 11 different times in different ways. And not only that, for your entire Old Testament, over 100 times does it talk about the Sabbath day, to remember it and to keep it holy. More than any other of the commandments, this is the one that they held to with great passion. Now, do we still keep this day? Is Saturday a day of rest? Is Saturday a day of worship? Well, in the Old Testament it was, but something profound happened. And that is that Jesus came. And when Jesus came to the scene, what he did is he deepened the meaning of some of the laws of God, but he also transformed them. Jesus, it's interesting, was constantly doing good works on the Sabbath. And of all the things that the people, the scribes, the Pharisees, the religious leaders of that day complained about Jesus was his work on the Sabbath day. They were constantly accusing him of breaking the Sabbath. And yet Jesus didn't come to break the law. He came to fulfill the law. And what he did in his coming is he showed them, first of all, that they completely misunderstood what the law was all about. But not only did they misunderstand what the law was about, He also told them that he had come to fulfill it and to transform the law. He says very clearly in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, "Do not think that I've come to abolish the law of the prophets, but I have come not to abolish them, but to fulfill them." One of the commandments that we are familiar with is the commandment, "Thou shalt not murder." And yes, that was a commandment given by God in the Old Testament, a commandment that is repeated in the New Testament, a commandment that we ought to obey today. But in Jesus' day, their understanding of that commandment, "Thou shalt not murder," is don't take somebody's life. In other words, I can hate you, I can be angry with you, I can be mean towards you, I can do every kind of thing towards you because I do not like you. All I have to do is just stop short of murder, and I'm in obedience. And Jesus is saying, no, 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 no. You don't understand the depth of my Father's commandment. The commandment isn't just that you shall not murder. But I tell you that anybody who is angry with your brother, what he's saying there is simply this, is that anger going unchecked and fueled will over time eventually lead a person to the point where they will actually kill somebody. They get so angry, they get so upset. I think we're all familiar with the terms of crimes of passion. That's what happens when anger goes unchecked. And Jesus is saying the intent of the law is that you should be loving your brother. You should be caring for one another. You shouldn't be angry towards one another, because the moment that goes unchecked, it's just like killing somebody. Or the other one that always shocks someone is Jesus said, "You shall not commit adultery." And by the way, that is in the Old Testament. That's one of the commandments of God. Don't commit adultery. And some people look at that and they say, "Well, I can do whatever I want to do with immorality, with sexuality, as long as I don't physically engage in the act of adultery, I'm safe." And Jesus is saying to you, you don't understand. You don't understand the depth of my Father's law. And that is that if you engage in your heart lustful thoughts, those unchecked lustful thoughts will eventually lead you to the place and the point where you commit adultery. And so, you shouldn't lust in your heart. But the Jews weren't interested in trying to understand the depth of God's law. They were always trying to figure out ways to get around God's law. And in this particular law, the Sabbath, they had so stacked on commandments all around it. Rather than being a day of rest and worship, it was a burden to man. But I want you to know, the beauty of our Lord came and changed all of that for us. That day is no longer a burden. In fact, in Mark's Gospel, chapter 3, I just picked some sections out where Jesus did works on the Sabbath. He came to a man whose hand was shriveled in Mark chapter 3. And he reached out and he touched that man's hand and it was healed. And immediately the scribes and the Pharisees were angry with him. "Why in the world did you heal this man on the Sabbath?" And Jesus says to them, "Don't you understand that the Sabbath was given to man and the Sabbath was created for you to do good works?" They had completely missed it. Or in Luke chapter 13, where he come to a woman who had been bound by a spirit for 18 years, and she was bent over and she could not straighten up, and Jesus healed her on the Sabbath day, gave her freedom on the Sabbath day. Oh, and they were angry at him. "How in the world could you possibly do this? You are working on the Sabbath day." And Jesus says, "For this woman here, I've done this miracle. I have freed her. Because the Sabbath day was not meant as a day to just do nothing, but it was to do good works and grant freedom to those who have been held captive." And he healed her. In fact, if you go throughout the New Testament, you will find time and time and time again, the Lord Jesus Christ does gracious acts on the Sabbath. Perhaps one of the most profound times that takes place is in Mark's Gospel chapter 2, where he's walking with his disciples. It's on a Sabbath day. They're hungry. There is a road, and next to the road is grain that is growing. And they were able to take their hand and slide it across the grain, and you end up with grain in your hand, and you can rub it and blow on it, and the chaff will blow away, and you can eat the grain. And they did this. And the people who saw Jesus do it, the religious leadership, said, "Why in the world are you doing this? You are working on the Sabbath." And Jesus gives us a profound understanding of the depth of the Sabbath. This is what he said. "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." In other words, I gave you this day. God gave it to you to rest and to enjoy. And you've turned it into the most burdensome thing you can possibly imagine. In fact, the real shocker in that verse, or in that chapter, is verse 28. He says this, "So the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." It is Christ and Christ Himself who gets to tell us what to do on the day that He Himself designed. Now, what is beautiful is that as Jesus has deepened the law of God and yet also transformed it and modified it, the Apostle Paul comes along in the New Testament and helps us in our understanding. Romans chapter 14 is what I want you to look at for just a moment. Let me read it to you. "One person esteems another day better than the other, while another esteems all days alike. Each should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it to honor the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honoring the Lord. And since he gives thanks to the Lord, while the one who abstains, abstains in honor the Lord, gives thanks to God." In other words, what is happening in the New Testament, there's a Jewish background, are coming to know Christ. Gentiles are getting to save. And all of a sudden, these New Testament saints and these Old Testament Jews are coming to Christ, and they're joining together as one community, and they're not really sure what they should do. Are all of the laws in the Old Testament incumbent upon us? Should we have to obey all the civil laws, all the moral laws, all the ceremonial laws? And of those laws, what about the Sabbath? What about all the food laws? I don't know about you, but an Easter, I like an Easter ham, don't you? Well, if you were Jewish in that day, you couldn't enjoy it. So what do? Paul is letting us know that we are not to judge one another in regard to the respect of different days. Jew or Gentile, there is no food that is unclean. You may enjoy it and enjoy it to the Lord. And if it offends your brother, you may abstain in order to not offend him. But whether you eat or whether you don't eat, or whether you celebrate one day or another day, all days are given unto the Lord. And so therefore you may do as you please unto God. What a great principle. He even furthers that principle in a second passage of Scripture. Let me get to you. It's Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. This is really the one that drives it home. "Therefore let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food or drink, or regard to," listen, "a festival, a new moon, or a Sabbath." Paul says this, "These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ." In other words, what he's simply saying is that festivals were annual, practiced by the Jews. You may do what you wish on those days. New moons that were celebrated monthly are no longer to be scrutinized. You may do as you please. You're no longer under those commandments of the Old Testament. And the Sabbath, which is celebrated on a weekly basis, you are no longer under the obligation to do that. In fact, you are now free in Christ, because all of those things were shadows of what Christ was going to fulfill for you and I. Now, after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, something powerful happened. He was put to death very quickly before the Sabbath on a Friday. He stayed in the grave on Saturday. But he arose on a new day, a Sunday. And now, Christians no longer are under any obligation to fulfill the things of the Old Testament in terms of the Sabbath. But because of the power and the resurrection of Christ, we have been given a brand new day in Jesus. His day. I love what one theologian, B.B. Warfield, said. He said, Christ took the Sabbath into the grave with Him and brought the Lord's day out of the grave with Him on that resurrection morning. Amen. You see, you're going to notice a pattern in the New Testament. You're going to notice that Saturday's worship shifted to Sunday because of the resurrection of the Lord. In fact, Acts 20 tells us that they no longer worshiped on Saturday, but they gathered on the first day of the week to worship Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, Paul says that when you gather your offering, gather it on the first day of the week, which is a Sunday, the day that you meet the Lord's day. John says in Revelation chapter 10, when he was together and he was worshiping God, he said he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. In other words, we have been given something completely new. We now who know Christ have been given Sunday, a day to enjoy Him. And from the second century on, we see over and over again that Christ was worshipped on Sunday, and Saturday, the old Sabbath, was completely abolished. It was fulfilled in Christ. The old Mosaic covenant that they were under and those difficult principles they had to work through are now fulfilled in Jesus Christ. I want you to understand that the binding nature of the Sabbath has been eliminated, and it has been eliminated by a resurrected Christ. So we have great freedom in Christianity today. You may do whatever you want on a Saturday. And it isn't just days of the week, it's the foods that you eat. And aren't you glad we don't have all kinds of dietary restrictions like they did in the Old Testament? We are free to enjoy in Christ. Well, Pastor Mike, then are you saying that Sunday is like any other day and we just have Sunday and we can go to church, we can stay home, we can do whatever we want to do? I want to say this. In no way is Sunday the new Sabbath. But I do want to say this, that when God in Genesis chapter 2 gave man a day of rest, I think that is a principle that applies throughout all creation. In other words, no matter what day of the week it is, the Lord wants you to take a day of rest. I believe that you'll be more productive. I believe that you're more happy. I believe that God will bless you on your day of rest. But I also believe this. This day, Sunday, is now called the Lord's Day. And the Lord's Day means that it is a day that's given to Him. And I believe that what He is saying in the giving of the Lord's Day is that on that day, there should be the priority of worship. Simply this, I think that Sunday belongs to God. I think you can do many things on Sunday. But the one thing that you must do on a Sunday, to the best of your ability, is to corporately gather with other believers and worship our Lord. And I don't know about you, but during this time right now, that is the one thing I am missing more than anything. I worship at home. I can gather my family around and we can watch the services on TV. But there is just something about getting together with the people of God, and we are ministering to one another and we are singing His name and we're rejoicing in the freedom that we have found in Christ, and we're lifting up our voices unto Him, and somebody is up here leading us in worship and Shelley picks a really exciting song. I just want to get out of my seat and dance, because this is a day to worship Him, to express our freedom and our joy in Christ. And if you don't know the joy of that, man, bummer for you. Your day is a bummer day. My day is a great day. I can't tell you the number of times I've come into the church with my head low and my heart saddened, and problems that seem insurmountable to me. And I've come into church and I've sat there thinking about what I'm going to say and what I'm going to preach. And we start to sing about the beauty of Christ. And we start to worship Him and we start to lift His name in. And suddenly my heart is lifted. Suddenly the problems that I have, they don't go away, but they don't have any more significance or importance in my life because Christ is number one. And when after I've preached the Word of God and sung unto Him and I walk out that day, my day is different because I've encountered God in the corporate assembly. And that's what this day is for. It's a glorious day to worship Him. It's a glorious day to do everything that you can. Now, I realize that some people have to work on a Sunday and they say, Pastor Mike, is that a sin to work on Sunday? I don't think it's a sin. We live in a secular society. Do everything you can to get it off. By the way, some people who work on a Sunday, I'm sure glad they do. Like the people at the hospital. Like doctors, nurses, or police officers, or people that are keeping bad guys in prison and make sure they stay there. Those are good works that need to be done even on the Lord's Day. But man, if you can get Sundays off, and you can come and worship our Lord Jesus Christ, what a day that is. And then, if Sunday happens to be your day off, after you worship the Lord, go home and relax. Visit some friends. Have a barbecue together. Enjoy that time. Somebody asked me, Pastor Mike, is it a sin to watch football on a Sunday? I said, not if you're watching the Rams, it's not. That's God's team. No, it's not a sin. But I will tell you this. I wouldn't stay at home and watch football and skip church. Not because of some legalistic reason, but because God deserves the priority of everything. And I'm so thankful for DVR, because you can record the games. God gave us this day to enjoy Him. But hang on, there's one more thing, and I'm going to close with this. Hebrews chapter 4. The author of Hebrews is writing to us about those in the Old Testament who failed to enter into the rest. It says here in verse 6, therefore remains for some to enter in, and those who formerly received the good news fail to enter in because of disobedience. In other words, Christ was the actual fulfillment of the Sabbath. And by coming to know Jesus Christ, you as a believer enter into your real rest with God. You're no longer striving to have God's approval. You're no longer doing everything that you possibly can, sweating, wondering, am I good enough? Will God accept me? Do I have to do all these works in order to earn my way into heaven? And the answer is no. The good works were completed and fulfilled by the man Jesus Christ in your behalf. Jesus said, for all you are weary and heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you rest. Christ is our ultimate rest. He is our ultimate joy. He is our ultimate act of worship. And when we get out of this earth here and we go into His presence, we are going to stand before Him, enjoying Him, worshiping Him, and resting in Him for all eternity. And so I ask you this question. Have you entered into the rest of Christ? Do you know Him as your Lord and Savior? Here's what the author of Hebrews says in chapter 4. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Oh, amen to that. So my friends, Sunday is a beautiful day that the Lord has given to you. Don't legalize it. Don't put a bunch of rules around it. But do two things, if you will. One, worship God. And you will enjoy that. And you will be refreshed. And two, if it's your day off and it's possible, rest and enjoy Him. But most of all, if you are a believer in Christ, rest in knowing He loves you and has paid the price for your sin. And for those of you on Sunday who don't know Christ, I pray that even in this time when we can't go out in public and we're all bound up in our home, may it drive you to introspection and may you think about what Christ can give to you in eternal rest. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for the beautiful rest we have in Christ. To rejoice with our other believers that I so long for. Right now in their home, I pray they're joining us in worship and singing along. And Father, I understand that we can't gather right now for the common good of all. And on that Sundays when we can't get together, we know we're doing good for the health of others. But Lord, let us worship you in our home until the day this is all over and we can gather together and sing again unto you. Bless that day, for you have been so faithful to us. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to close with a special song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. God bless you, church. Hope to see you real soon.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 besides. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord.
Bob and Ken and Karen, thank you so much. What a joy to see you up there again and experience worship with you. I, Pastor Mike, I want to say thank you for that. As you were speaking, I wanted to, you know, the law. And I was thinking of Galatians. So the law was put in charge. The law was put in charge to lead us to Christ. He is the fulfillment of it. He is the Sabbath. So that we might be justified by faith. Now that faith has come, we're no longer under the supervision of the law. And then he He goes on in chapter 5, "My brothers, you were called to be free, free from condemnation and all those things, but don't use your freedom to indulge a sinful nature." And here it is, "Rather serve one another and serve in love. For the law, the whole commandments are filled this, love your neighbor as yourself." Wow. Pastor, thank you so much for that. It was wonderful. Such a joy to be here. Wish everyone else was here. I get to be here with Pastor Mike. This is just a real joy. So let me pray for you, and may the Lord bless you. So, Father, thank you for this day. You've set us free. You've given us a new nature. You've transformed our thinking and our emotions. For our families all over the Central Coast, for our missionaries who are around the world, may you grant to them your righteousness, your peace, and your joy in the Holy Spirit on this day, and awaken them to the magnificence of life that is eternal, that will not only never end, but it is filled with love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. So, Father, may you bless your sons and daughters today and now and forever. May they rejoice in you at every moment. In the love of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have an awesome new day. Amen.